Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot going on in the NFL right now to talk about it with us. Bill Moss, who joins us every week. Bill, I don't know where to start, so I guess we'll start with the latest news. How surprised are you that Brian Flores has been fired by the Dolphins?
Yeah, I was shocked, actually. I mean, I kind of, from the outsider's perspective, just watching that team, I saw them going through a transformation where, you know, they caught on to what he was preaching, and they were, you know, getting better. I saw this team get better under him than prior to him getting there. So, yeah, that was kind of a shock. I understand it not making the playoffs, but I think you have to look at the overall picture. When you make these moves, I get it, but when you make these moves, you have to think about, prior to making them, who's out there? Who's out there that can do better? And I think that'll be the surprising thing. You know, we went through this the last 2 years, and we saw some surprise names come up to become head coaches just to see them kind of all get fired today.
Bill Moss is our guest. Bill, that game last night was unbelievable. Unbelievable drama as it went right down to the wire. If it would have been a tie, then the Steelers would have been out and the Raiders would have been headed to Arrowhead instead. The Raiders win. They go to Cincinnati and the Steelers come to Kansas City. So let's start there. What do you think of the matchup between Steelers and Chiefs at Arrowhead?
Well, you got to love it, right? I mean, I don't think for a Chiefs fan that we could have asked for a better scenario, except for, you know, a bye. But if you're going to play one of these teams right now, you sure like to beat the Steelers. They're just not the Steelers. They're not the same. Ben's not the same. They were lucky to eke that one out. But, you know, what we handled them here just a few weeks ago, pretty handily, and I think that's going to be the same outcome.
Okay, so, man, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. So last night, watching that game, it's the third quarter. It's a three-point game midway through the third quarter, and the Chargers, Brandon Staley, elect to go for it on fourth and one from his own 18. And they don't get it. And then they stop the Raiders, but the Raiders are right there in field goal territory, so it's like the Chargers handed the Raiders 3 points. Ended up being kind of big, considering it was an overtime game. Look, and then all these analytics models and everything else say he made the right decision, and I can't wrap my head around that. Did you agree going forward as a former player, as a guy that called a whole bunch of football games and watched football his whole life, fourth and one in a close game in the third quarter from your own 18? I don't see how the risk matches up to the reward.
Yeah, you know, you could make a case, Stephen, that Brandon Staley lost three games for their team by sticking to his guns and just always going for it on fourth down. The Chiefs being one of those games. Something has happened to this team on a psychological basis that they have not been the same for the last 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. They started off on fire. Halfway through the season, people were saying they might be the best team in the AFC, up there with Buffalo. And then something, I'm not sure what is going on, but they're not the same team. Down the stretch, from the second half of the season, they have not been the same. And I'm not so sure if this go for it, go for it, go for it, that's who we are mentality hasn't been a part of that. Why psychological process of where they're at, you know, there's a part of that that says, you know, we have to go for it all the time because, you know, coach doesn't think we're good enough to compete against our opponents. And you know, that could have an effect too. I'm not sure. Maybe there's something deeper than that. Maybe there's relationship problems between coaches and players or players and players, but I can tell you this, that is not the same team that I saw in the first half of the season.
Bill, you've been there in the locker room on sidelines. Can you tell us what it is like when coaches make decisions like that, and do players start kind of grumbling under their voice to one another if they disagree when their coach is doing something like this?
Yeah, I would say I would say that you need to be in touch with the players. You need to be in sync with the players. You need to know how the players are feeling, right? But look, there's plenty of games, you know, that you're playing and you feel like you can do anything you want on the field with the person you're playing against, with the defense or offense you're playing against. You can sense it and you can feel it. And you get that early. But if you're getting your ass handed to you at the line of scrimmage, you might want to talk to those guys and see what they feel about going forward on fourth and one, okay? The guys know. You don't want to say yes or no, but if you're honest, you know what your chances are of getting it on a, you know, short yardage, mano-a-mano, knock the guy off the line of scrimmage, or, look, man, not today, or find a different play. But I think that that goes a long way to making these decisions, and I'm not against going against analytics. Analytics are analytics. But you know what? A guy like Aaron Donald can screw up that analytics, right? and or somebody else of that nature. But I think you follow what I'm saying. The stats are one thing, but a beast is another. So you have to be in tune with your team and your guys. And I think that has a big part of it. And I think coaches are making a big mistake if they don't take that into consideration.
Okay, so the end of game sequence had a lot of people debating on what really happened last night, because and several NFL players have tweeted out that, you know, they thought that the Raiders didn't have a tremendous sense of urgency. They were going to run the ball out of shotgun until Staley called a timeout, and then they came back and reset and lined up. And had a play that it changed their approach. Even Derek Carr said after the game, the timeout changed their approach.
Yeah.
And then they ran the ball, picked up 10 yards, and kicked a 47-yard field goal. What did you think of everything that happened there at the end of the game?
Well, you know, I think that changing your approach and understanding what's happening and where you're at is a big part of the head coach's decision process, right? That's why I think, you know, this guy, you know, he deserves a shot, in my opinion. You're taking a team that could have just folded it all in a long time ago, and he's made them a playoff team, a playoff team that, you know, they're a threat, right? They play good defense. They can throw a deep ball. They run the ball well. You know, they do good things. So, I don't know, is this the next Bruce Arians? You know, when he filled in in Indianapolis and then went to Arizona and then to the Bucks. I mean, is that guy the next one? I think you got to take a good hard look at that.
If you were playing, would you have had a problem playing for a tie, or do you just you want to beat your rival and keep them out of the playoffs? What would your mindset have been in that very unique situation?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. But again, I go back to say what. Where are your guys? What do they feel best doing? You know, they were at home, right? I think when you're on the road, you got to go for it. You're at home. Say, hey, it's our home turf. We'll tie it up. We'll win it in overtime.
All right, Bill, let's talk about this this game against the Broncos just a little bit. What is a win, right? and that's what's most important. How did you come away feeling about the Chiefs after this game?
Just watching the game, I just, you know, they're sluggish. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, I think you can gauge that on special teams and tackling. And I don't know. They seem flat to me. This team doesn't, you know, I would compare this team to if you take a thoroughbred horse that just loves to run. That's what they do. They run, right? And you try to make them a plodder or a trotter. You know, it's like you're pulling the reins in on these thoroughbreds and you're trying to make them take the underneath stuff. And they're doing it, but they just don't enjoy doing it. You know, that's what it looks like. I mean, Travis Kelce touchdown. It was like, yeah, okay, great. We scored a touchdown. Here's a ball. It's like no, wasn't even any excitement about it. And it was a long drive, I think the longest of the year. And they get a touchdown, and they're like, oh, okay. They don't seem to get excited about it. They feel like they have to plod their way down the field, and it's not something they enjoy doing. And I think it resonates through the team, you know? Did you see it? Did you see a lot of excitement in that game?
No, but Bill, what I was 100% I saw exactly what you're saying. But what I was thinking about when I was watching that was this past week, Steven and I talked a lot about how just as fans, it was kind of hard to get super excited for this game because you just came off these two incredible games that seemed like playoff previews against the Chargers and against the Bengals, and you know that emotional letdown of losing that game to the Bengals and losing the one seed, and now you're playing this Broncos team that's not really a factor that you beat, you know, 12 times in a row, and right on the other side of that's going to be the playoffs. I know these guys are pros, and their job is to go out and play their best every game, but it seemed like, is it possible that they just, it was kind of a sandwich game type letdown game, or am I giving them too much of an excuse for that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know mentally, you know, where they were at or what they were thinking. That's a good observation, and you could apply that. I had to find a reason each and every week to get angry about something, you know.
Right.
I would study film and watch it until I got to the point that I found something that just, it got me there, you know. And you have to do that as a pro when you get in those games that you just feel like, yeah, we got to go play this team. Because we've seen it. We've seen it each and every week where, you know, these teams, oh, how about Jacksonville yesterday, for example, mm-hmm. right? I mean, anybody, it's just ridiculous. And speaking on that, this weekend's games were just crazy, right?
Huh.
I mean, if they wanted that 18th week to be a good week, they certainly got it. It was just unbelievable watching what unfolded across the league and all the overtimes and the close games and the upsets. It was what a wild weekend, and kudos to the NFL.
But how do you explain, you're the Colts, and I saw Rich Eisen tweet out. The Colts went from being the team that nobody wanted to see in the playoffs to the team that nobody will see in the playoffs. They're out.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I can't explain it, you know. I really can't. Although, for whatever reason, Jacksonville has just matched up well against the Colts for probably the last 2-3 years, right? And you get those matchup problems, whatever it is. Kind of like we match up well against the Raiders. We just do. And it shows and when we play them. And then other teams you just, for whatever reason, you don't match up well with. They might be able to, you know, ride Kelce down the seam and stay on him. They may be able to take away Tyreek Hill. And then all of a sudden the offense doesn't click as well. So, you know, you see it each and every week. I can't explain the Colts. You know, I just thought they're just a well-coached team. I thought they're getting the most out of their quarterback they can get. And the defense was playing strong, and then all of a sudden they just lay an egg. So they're paying for it now, though.
Well, I tell you what, though, you want an advertisement for the league. All the teams that theoretically had nothing to play for yesterday that came and played and either won their games or gave their opponents everything they want. And then what should have been like the biggest nightmare scenario for the NFL is that the last game of the entire regular season, both teams had an incentive to tie the game, right? Like, they could have gone out there and just ran the ball and punted all night and both made the playoffs, and they didn't play that way, at least not till the very last drive. That was an incredibly entertaining game. The NFL's got it, man, because everybody, like, almost everybody played as hard as they possibly could till the end of the season. You got to give them credit for that, right?
There's no question. You know, and that extra game for the guys, that's a lot, too. You know, the extra week, I can remember, you know, to get through 16 games and a bye week, it took a lot, right?
Yeah.
And on your body, it just takes a toll. I mean, you don't have to look any further than at the end of the game with Travis Kelce coming off the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough go. So it's demanding. So the outcome of which we saw yesterday across the league, yeah, it was amazing.
And Bill, going back to that game against the Denver Broncos, look, the Chiefs, like you said, they look flat. And when Denver was driving in the fourth quarter, I'm thinking, man, the Chiefs might actually lose this game. Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton combined for one of the defensive plays of the year. That won the game. And to say that Melvin Ingram wasn't even on the team at the beginning of the season, they acquired him. They go out and draft Nick Bolton. He leads the team in tackles. That was a hell of a play by two guys that have really been a big part of whenever the defense has had success this year.
Yeah, and I think I know what you're emphasizing here, but I think what you need to really look at is what you said going into that, is they were driving at the end of the game. They were in Chiefs territory, and the Chiefs had shown no signs of being able to stop them on that drive, right? They were getting their passes. They couldn't stop the rushing attack. I mean, it was bad, and it looked like they were going in for another score to kind of seal the game. And then Melvin Ingram, just unbelievable play. Not sure how it occurred or why it occurred, but he just blew that thing up. I don't know if he understood the down and distance and the formation set, but nobody blocked him. I mean, he took a chance and just blew that thing up. And then Bolton was there to pick up the ball and make a scoop and score, which sealed the game. That was it then. It took any error that Denver may have had in their sails, certainly was deflated.
Were you surprised that Vic Fangio, it was 4th and 9, but the ball was inside the 20 and there was only 4.5 minutes left, kicked a field goal and never got the ball back? It was like almost like a surrender.
Right, yeah. I mean, and you know what, Vic, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him. That's a bad deal, you know. You got a great defense like that playing. You get in a situation where, you know, since Elway, you just really don't have a quarterback. But you have a good running game, a good, you know, you got some good linemen up there. You got a good running back. I mean, it's to get fired, and you know, you can see this team. This is a good team. I mean, whoever gets this job and is able to find a quarterback and develop a quarterback is going to have a, you know, successful run this time around. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to Vic, because he's such a good coach.
But can you believe the Chiefs have beat the Broncos 13 times in a row? I mean, come on, man.
Hey, look at Steven. I don't want to hear about it. I smile like the biggest smile ever. We've got their John Elway, okay?
That's
I lived through it, man. I was the Denver Broncos, okay? I'm playing John Elway all the time. He had our number, and we'd come so close, so close, so close. And at the end, he'd always eke it out. So we've got our Elway now, and I'm just smiling. I love it.
So, and yes, that and now you get to go to the playoffs with that guy, which makes everything feel good. I do, not to break it back down, but I do want to go back to, you were saying that the Broncos were driving it right down the field, and tackling was clearly an issue this game for the Chiefs, and it was an issue in the Bengals game as well. And maybe it goes back to the sluggishness, maybe not being. Can they flip the switch defensively and start tackling better, or is that sign of something that's a deeper problem that we need to be worried about in the playoffs?
Yeah, so if you were going to say one thing about the Chiefs' 2021 season up to this point, right, I think the word would be inconsistent on almost every aspect of the team. They've just been inconsistent in what they do and when they do it. It's been inconsistent in the running game. It's been inconsistent with pass receiving. Patrick Mahomes has been inconsistent at times, right? The defense started off, they couldn't stop the run if they tried. They got that turned around when Melvin Ingram came in, and we got some players back. And, you know, then when you think you got it going, and all of a sudden they give up 400 yards in a game back to back, and they look like they don't want to play in at the end, last game of the season. And so, you know, that's the thing that going into the playoffs, I don't know if you can just flip that switch. You know, I don't think all of a sudden you just say, hey, all of a sudden now I'm going to get excited and start making plays and have attention to detail. I don't think that occurs. Now, hopefully it does. Hopefully everything turns around, but you are what you are, you know? And that's the thing in the playoffs with this team that concerns me the most. Who are they, and where's the attention to detail?
All right, Bill, last question for you. Of course, the Chiefs host the Steelers Sunday night football, first round of the playoffs. I'm with you. It's the best possible matchup, except maybe for the Raiders, but best possible matchup. We were looking at the Colts or the Chargers. Now we get the Steelers. But I've already had two or three people send us messages. I listened to ESPN Radio this morning before our show, and starting with the storyline, well, you know, Roethlisberger's going to be on a mission. They're playing with house money. The no pressure will be on the Steelers. It'll all be on the Chiefs. Is there anything to read into that or to be concerned about now that the Steelers are in the postseason, they're in the playoffs, and they have a chance to do something they couldn't do in the regular season and beat the Chiefs? Or is it just the Chiefs are that much better and they're going to steamroll the Steelers and then on to the next round?
You know, yeah, so Steelers have some nice things going for them. They're pretty beat up, though. I mean, T.J. Watt's hurt, and, you know, even Cam Hayward's struggling a little bit. They run the ball sparingly, but when it does get going, they're pretty good. But Harris is beat up as well, Najee Harris. Tight ends, good play. They've got inconsistent receivers, but they can be big-time receivers at times. Ben can be hot and he can be cold. So, you know, they have some of their issues too. But, you know, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got a great tradition of what they do and how long they've been able to do it. You don't take them lightly, but I certainly think that the Chiefs are a much better team.
What's the score going to be on Sunday night?
I think it's going to be somewhere in the field of like 30 to 21, somewhere in that field, I think. I think that the Steelers are good enough to muster up some points, but they won't be able to hang with the Chiefs in the interim.
And tonight on Sports Radio 810, we have the national championship game. Who you got, Georgia or Alabama?
Man, I don't – you know, that's tough. It's tough to go against Alabama. That Georgia defense is good. I think they got a wake-up call in the SEC championship game. The right side of Alabama's offensive line is out. And, you know, that's an opportunity for that Georgia defense to maybe shake that quarterback up a little bit. So it's hard to go against Alabama, but I'd like to see the Dogs get one.
I'm with you. Thank you, Bill, for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thank you.
That is Bill Moss. Great stuff from Bill, who joins us every Monday. I know it's almost the lesser two evils, but I'd rather see Georgia win tonight than Alabama.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Georgia.
The Bulldogs.
Yeah, they will.
I don't know. It's hard for me to pick against Saban.
Do it. Be bold.
Nah. I'm not so bold.
What do you say, Jake?
Bama. Roll Tide.
Are you investing in that proclamation?
Oh, Steven, you know I don't gamble.
Do you feel that strongly about it? I really don't know.
He said it with confidence, didn't he?
I really don't know.
Yeah, I'll take that. That'd be 2.5 points. It was 3. I hope you got in on it earlier. That hook can matter.
I'm not excited about watching this game at all.
So what did? So I mean, we don't have much of an option.
Right.
I mean, will you watch or no?
Oh, of course I'll watch. It's my job.
It's not your job.
No, it's not.
Well, we got to talk about it.
You got a microphone.
You can fake it. It's not your job.
Uh-huh. Watch the highlights before the show.
Your job. Here is your job.
Should you choose to accept it?
So you're going to Alabama and you'll take the points.
You'll take
3 and take save, whatever.
I don't know. Saucy, I might go money on. See what the odds are before the game.
That was good.
Dude, a buddy of mine, back when we were talking last week about the whole prospect of the Jags winning and then the Raiders and Chargers tying, a buddy of mine, what do you call that, a parlay? Pick all those results at the same time?
When you put a couple bets together.
Yeah, I'm a big gambler, as you can tell. He parlayed it, and he was obviously very, very close to hitting a big bet yesterday.
Oh, that's the thing with parlays. Brin, you know, every damn time. It only if you had an 18 parlay and there's just one team.
But think about how crazy that is to pick the Jags to win and for those two teams to tie last night. And all it really might have taken was Brandon Staley not calling that timeout. Like that's how close he was.
Vegas banks on.
You know,
those
if I own the Chargers, or maybe if I'm playing, I think after that 4th-and-1 call, I would have wanted to fight him.
I mean,
I'd have been so mad.
I just think it's crazy. Brian Flores drags that terrible quarterback situation to an above 500 record. Brandon Staley drags that quarterback situation out of the playoffs, and he keeps his job.
Because that's what gets lost in everything. And I know he had a chance to score a touchdown in the overtime, but what Herbert did in those final two drives was unbelievable.
Trying to rescue his coach.
3 fourth-down conversions on that last drive. 3 of them. 3.
5 fourth-down conversions on the last two drives.
And weren't they all 4th-and-9 or greater?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why he kept going for it on 4th-down all year. But you know what? Let Herbert throw it then.
I'll tell you what. There might not be a hotter seat next year than his.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Not right. No, I'm just...
But I just like it for the analytics crowd. You can't be wrong. You can't because he made the right decision. It was right,
even if it fails.
Yeah, how does
because
that work? How does
because
that work?
If you do it 100 times, it works 65 times.
Why does it have to be in that voice? Though is what I don't understand that.
These people who are analytics,
I've heard
nerds.
Plenty. They don't sound like them. Stop it! Stop that!
They're nerds.
No. That's Jake. Jake's calling you names. I'm just making fun
of
your voice.
I'm calling you names. I'll call it to your face if you come talk
what?
To me. You're a nerd.
There's nothing wrong with being a nerd. Sometimes it's just don't be an arrogant, condescending nerd who thinks you're never wrong.
Okay,
there you go.
Entering Sunday, NFL quarterbacks. Let's see if we can wrap our heads around this and we'll break. Entering Sunday, NFL quarterbacks had 20 first downs on 85 attempts in 4th-and-9 or longer scenarios in 2021. So there were 85 attempts on 4th-and-9 or longer where teams went for it 20 times, 20 first downs out of 85, 4th-and-9 or longer. Justin Herbert went 5 for 5 in the last 5 minutes of that game and overtime in those situations. He had 20% of the season's.
I was gonna say he quartered.
He had 20% of the season's 4th-and-long pass conversions by himself over the course of 3 drives last night.
No,
they still lost.
Timeout. What?
But did that not blow your mind? And that touchdown pass where he split the defenders, the arm strength, the arm talent, you know, as scouts say, but it's like...
Off of that platform?
No, it was like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah?
I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, oh, this is going to be a devastating, devastating, devastating loss to the Raiders. I can't believe it. How many, like, fourth down, do you know how does it feel when a team gets 1 fourth down on it? It's like, oh, but 4th-and-9 or longer 5 times. He converted, and they still lost.
They didn't make the playoffs.
I'm just playing with the rubber band. I don't know.
But,
that's the analytics say Staley's right, so it's all good. No heat. Yeah. No hot seat for him. He a genius.
I got a computer that tells
it's
me
not
I
what
get
they
the
talk
right
like.
Job.
Stop it.
Exactly
back after this on WHB.
Talking.